from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Perloff, Devontae Adams has been waiting his whole life for someone to finally ask him, hey, what do you think about all this? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. The dude is a natural. So he's obviously the subject of this Netflix series called Receiver, where we find out just how bad things were behind the scenes last year with the Raiders. Now he's doing interviews all over the place, including with Shannon Sharp, the Club Shay Shay podcast, which I know is you're a big fan of, as am I. Let's hear a little of Devontae Adams, because all the rumors are swirling now about whether or not he would want to team back up with Aaron Rodgers. So here's Devontae Adams saying he would welcome a reunion with Rodgers if it were to happen.
If I'm going to be reunited with anybody, it would be Aaron.
Okay.
But or be, you know, relocated and be anywhere, it would be with Aaron.
Okay, moving on. Devontae Adams says he is locked in with the Raiders, but he admits the thought of playing with Rodgers is enticing.
I'm actively on the Raiders.
Right.
What do I look like sitting here talking to other people about being on another team?
Right.
You know, and that's how I still feel about it right now. Like, I'm locked in with the Raiders, and I really feel good about this team. And you know, as far as I know, they feel good about me. And if that ever changed, if that got to a point where they weren't feeling the same way, you know, I ain't done playing. So obviously we would figure out whatever we needed to figure out. But the thought of playing with Aaron is obviously amazing.
Okay. So it's tough, right? Because he's saying, and on one hand, like, I am a Raider, I don't want to leave. Yet at the other hand, saying it would be amazing if I could team up with Aaron Rodgers. Like, here's the thing about Devontae Adams. I don't think he's like, I'm not mad at it, if you will. Like, I don't think he's doing anything necessarily wrong. I just don't think he's turning down the volume on this. You know, if he really wanted to put all this away and just like, hey, Shannon, like, love you, not answering questions about it. I'm a Raider. And even just bringing up Rodgers there and saying how great it would be to play with him another time, I feel like just keeps this story at a simmer nearing a boil, where you could actually turn down the heat on this if you just came out and said, I'm not talking about, you know, Aaron Rodgers not my quarterback. Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew are my quarterbacks.
Well, yeah, but he did say, I'm a Raider. I kind of think he was doing a little bit of that, right? He had some of that energy.
Yeah, he did. He's like, I'm a Raider. It'd be weird for me to be talking about another team. On the other hand, yes, it would be amazing to play with Aaron Rodgers again. It's like,
to me, that feels almost like a harmless comment, in the sense that, like, any receiver would want to play with Aaron Rodgers. It was like, yeah, of course I'd like to play with Aaron Rodgers. Like, I'd love to play with Patrick Mahomes. It felt like a little bit like, I think he did bring down the temperature a little bit, his tone and everything he's saying. And obviously, you know, behind the scenes, like, his agents came out publicly and said there's never been any trade talk in there. You know, and then the team says there's no trade talk. Like, we have no interest in trading him. Like, they keep hammering that home behind the scenes. So that's climbing the noise a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, right. Well, I meant behind the scenes, it's like the agent and the team. They keep on getting out there via all the insiders, like there's no trade happening. They keep saying that. So that I think there is an effort to quiet the noise as well.
I guess here's the question.
Yeah.
If this is really so far-fetched, and there really is no talks of this, and there's nothing that is all, there's no smoke, there's no fire, all of this is just complete and utter speculation, why do the agents even come out and say anything? You could, there's rumors all the time. There's a rumor going around right now that Devontae Adams could get traded for Brandon Ayuk. Like, there's silly stuff that happens all over the league, and agents and GMs and players don't respond to every last thing. So if you could have also just ignored this if you're his agents. The idea that you did come out and say it kind of makes me think that, I don't know, is it a little doth protest too much, or maybe Devontae Adams is worried that this is going to impact the locker room or something that. Like, it's not nothing, right? It's either, they even think it's risen to the level that it had to be dealt with. And then he goes on Shannon Sharpe's podcast and is talking about how amazing it is to play with Aaron Rodgers when you have no great quarterbacks, on your own roster.
So let me ask you, do you think there'll be a trade?
I still think it's possible. I really do. I still think it's possible. I also think that there's another part of this, which is Aaron Rodgers' influence on the New York Jets, which I think is massive. I really do. And it's beyond just signing Alan Lazard and, you know, some of the other guys. I think that he has the direct ear to all the important decision makers. And I think he's more than just like another player on the team, obviously.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't think so?
Well, no, I totally. I just think that their Boomer Esiason, our cohort here, said there might be a trade in August or September. To me, that feels unlikely. I feel like, yeah, at the trade deadline, maybe. But honestly, I don't think the noise is quite as heavy as you do, because he should have been traded last year's trade deadline, too. He seems to be sticky to Las Vegas for some reason. And even these comments, I kind of said, I'm kind of resigned to being here. He's like, I'm a Raider for now. Well, yeah, I don't know. It just feels like all logic says he should be traded, and yet he wasn't traded last year. Maybe the same sort of defying logic thing happens again. I wouldn't be shocked.
One of the things he said to Shannon Sharpe, we're talking about Devontae Adams, who was on Shannon Sharpe's podcast, talking about his career and his life and, you know, wanting to play with Aaron Rodgers again, but claiming I'm a Raider, you know, I'm a Raider for now type stuff. One thing he did say, though, he said, I'm not trying to skate around the U.S. trying to find a new home. So if you're asking, why wasn't he traded last year? No, when things were really bad with Josh McDaniels and the offense was bad and he's out there being, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is basically hanging him out to dry, which is what we saw in receiver in terms of on the field, like putting him in harm's way, where there's a line where he's mic'd up in a game. And he goes, I'm going to lose my life if I keep playing like this, because Garoppolo is essentially leading him into these massive hits. And Devontae even said it to Shannon Sharpe. He goes, I'm in the blue tent now trying to convince the doctors that I can go back into the game because they just saw me in a massive collision. That's not what Aaron Rodgers was like to play with. Rodgers will try to lead you to a safe place to catch the ball, quote unquote safe. I do think that there's this idea that he doesn't want to be looked at as like the bus rider, maybe, or like a Kevin Durant type thing, or like trying to this label that guys get if you're going to multiple teams. And I think that does play a part in it, right? When he says, I'm not trying to skate around the U.S. to try to find a new home. Maybe he feels like he's above that.
You would know more. I'm not sure. Is that really a big issue for Kevin Durant and Devontae Adams? Are such different things, right?
But you know what I mean?
He's never been like the singular star in any sense. I feel like, no, I mean, for both him and Max Crosby, if they wanted to leave, nobody's going to fault them, right? Because it's different than Durant joining the Warriors.
No, I think he's kind of finally coming to grips with that Devontae Adams a bit. You know, I think maybe he didn't want to seem like somebody who's always just looking to get out and do the other thing, you know, to be looking for the greener pastures and not feeling like they're committing to the team they're at.
Yeah, but I mean, he's in ways the anti-Kevin Durant, because he left a great team to go to a bad team.
Yeah, he talks about that too, Devontae Adams. It was kind of interesting, him talking about, if I knew now, I knew then what I know now about Jordan Love, obviously I would have stayed, he said, or I would have been much more open to staying in Green Bay. He's like, but you can't live your life with regrets like that. And then he said,
I'm a little dubious about that comment. It seemed like he was hell-bent on getting to Vegas.
Really wanted to go with Derek Carr, right? And then the other part, he said that Green Bay does, this is what he said about Jordan Love and why he couldn't see the potential that he had. or this high, maybe high ceiling that he had. He said that in Green Bay specifically, they don't give the backup a lot of burn because they are concerned about how it would impact the starter. So what Devontae Adams is alleging is that they were not showcasing Jordan Love behind the scenes or giving him really meaningful reps in practice as a courtesy to Aaron Rodgers.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Thought that was interesting. All right, let's go to the phones. 855-212-4227. Braden is in Colorado, wants to talk about Devontae. What's up, Braden?
How y'all doing?
We're great, man. What's up?
Not a lot. Hey, I just wanted to give my opinion on this Devontae Adams thing. I think there's a couple things at play. Number one, like when he's on that Club Shay Shay podcast, not a super great look for him to be up there and probably speak a little bit more what's actually in his mind about, you know, he's not a huge fan of it there. They're not competitive. They're not projected to be competitive. And he wants to go somewhere else right now, right? He's got to still try to be a good teammate, one of the leaders in the locker room, and say that, you know, he is where he is. He thinks they have a good team, all those things. But, you know, from the other end, you know, Perloff was saying it just makes a lot of sense for a trade to happen. But I don't know. I mean, Raiders gave up a hole to get him, and they've got a brand-new stadium that they're trying to continue to sell tickets to put butts in seats right now. And I don't think it makes a lot of sense right now, you know, from the Raiders' perspective. And you know, maybe they get to a point later this year by the trade deadline or in this upcoming offseason where, you know, they feel like they got a little bit enough of ROI on it. But that's my take on it. Appreciate the time and enjoy listening to you guys every morning.
Braden, thanks so much. I mean, if I were the Raiders, I'm trying to do everything I possibly can to find my next quarterback. Who is this person? How am I acquiring this person? Mm. And is it going to happen through the draft? Is it going to happen through free agency? Like, what is the plan? And if trading Devontae Adams gets me draft capital that's closer to that goal of finding my next franchise quarterback, I got to do it.
Yeah, but you know the Raiders don't follow the normal logic of things.
That's fair. You're welcome to weigh in on Devontae Adams at 855-212-4227. Okay. The Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket, live and in your face. No, the MASH region round two has been released. You can go vote at Maggie and Pearl. We got into a conversation just about sitcoms in general. Should a sitcom be ageless? Does it need to be ageless to be great? Much like a professional athlete, the great ones, the elite ones, we say could have played in any era. You know, could Y.A. Tittle could have played in any era, Perloff, you know, and Bill Russell could have played in any era. Will Chamberlain could have played in any era. If you're an all-time great sitcom, should you be funny in 1985 as you are in 2025? That's the question. Charles is in Maine, has a thought on it. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning. First point, and respectfully I say this, it was Tipper Gore, not Nancy Reagan, that wanted to slap warning labels on Two Live Crew and on Twisted Sister and those other albums.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Tipper Gore? I thought it was Nancy Reagan. Apologies.
Nancy Reagan's all about Just Say No, right?
Oh, yes. Nancy Reagan was Just Say No, War on Drugs. Got it.
Yeah. I'm old enough to remember those commercials where they had a frying egg saying, "This is your brain on drugs."
Oh, yeah.
I think they're still playing those, by the way. It was effective.
Yeah. Well, as a teenager in the mid-'80s, that was scary.
Yeah.
But it was Tipper Gore, and she founded the Parents Advisory Council, which went around and upset Dee Snider and Luke Skywalker, or whatever his name was, from Two Live Crew.
Yeah, Dr. Luke, right. Uncle Luke.
Luther something's real name. But I also Luther Campbell, thank you. When Murphy Brown had a baby out of wedlock, and Dan Quayle made a huge deal out of that, in 1992, and some people say that was one of the several things that turned the 1992 election in Clinton's favor, that was as tone deaf as it was at the time.
Yeah, rule number one, you don't go after Murphy Brown in an election.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
Yeah. Yeah, I also remember, I was in law school when this happened, when Lewinsky and Clinton got impeached over the Lewinsky situation, and Letterman and Leno were vicious in going after Monica Lewinsky. And these days, we really seem to be reconsidering that through a different prism, a different lens, and looking at it, and there are documentaries out and things that revisit that era, and why we were not looking at that from the right end of the telescope, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only other thing, Sorry, go ahead.
No, I get the Monica Lewinsky has now become like the poster child for bullying. You know, she's like, I was the first person who was like cyberbullied, you know, and beyond that, and how she, you know, was, you know, how young she was. She was like 22 when she was an intern of the White House. I mean, she was really young.
Yeah, and here is an honest to God, hand to God, true story. I was in law school. I went to Georgetown Law at the end of the 90s, and Monica Lewinsky was invited to come and speak to one of my classes as a guest speaker. And she sat on the desk and kicked her feet up and chewed bubble gum. She was 23 at the time. It was amazing. It was surreal. And Ken Starr spoke to the same class, so...
Wait, what?
Five times.
Wait.
Honest to God.
She was brought in to speak to your Georgetown Law School class about what? About the scandal?
Well, I took a class that was called Impeachment.
Oh.
And,
okay.
And, yeah, the professor, who was a Dartmouth classmate of mine, which put me to shame, brought in Ken Starr himself, he brought in Monica Lewinsky, he brought in Brett Kavanaugh before Brett Kavanaugh was Brett Kavanaugh. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I'm telling you, this is, I swear to God. And then finally, speaking of that, if you will indulge me for one more second, I would love to hear from Mr. Perloff which fraternity he was in at Dartmouth, because I'm guessing it was either Phi Delta or Alpha Chi.
No, you're wrong. Jake Tapper, Alpha Chi. I was Theta Delta Chi, the Boom Boom Lodge.
Wait a minute.
Theta Delta, oh my God, I should have gotten that. I'm sorry. Theta, yeah, Boom Boom. I should have gotten that. I forgot about that one. My bad.
Yeah, no,
I was a Chi Gap myself.
What in the world is the Boom Boom Lodge, and why are we only hearing about it now?
So,
ask him about the winter carnival parties.
By the way, you're right. I have Alpha Chi written all over me, Charles. That's a very astute observation.
Charles, thank you. This is the most highfalutin conversation we've ever had.
My nickname, or the nickname for my fraternity, was the Boom Boom Lodge. Now, the story is amazing.
Okay.
There used to be train tracks where the fraternity house was, and 1920 something, there was some bootleggers were running from Johnny Law, and I guess the police caught up to them right near this building and shot the bootleggers, like famous, like a big story.
Oh wow!
And that's where Boom Boom came from, because there were these shots fired, and that's how. Somehow it became known as the Boom Boom Lodge. That's a legend. Because bootleggers got shot. You know, Dartmouth's a really old place. Like Robert Frost was there in 1925 or something. So that's the legend. That's why it's called the Boom Boom Lodge. No other reason.
Wow. That is not the origin story I thought we were going to hear.
By the way, 99% chance it was totally made up. But that's like, oh yeah, that's where the bootleggers got shot. That's a good one.
Wow. So you're a T-Del, huh?
So there's one very, very super famous fraternity there. The Animal House fraternity was based at Dartmouth, and it was Alpha Delta, that's a pretty cool place. That's actually the exact building that the whole movie was based on. It was on the other side of campus. It's like a historic. There should be a shrine there, Maggie.
Wow. Well, I mean, did you quit when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
That actually happened in Dartmouth's campus. That's Dartmouth's ultimate claim to fame: unionizing men's basketball and Animal House.
855-212-4227. Don't get calls like that every day, so thank you, Charles in Maine. Coming up, we do have Coach Jeff Fisher's in the house, so we're going to sit down and talk with a guy who spent 4 decades in the NFL, player and coach. It's awesome. We get to pick his brain. We'll do that next.
All right, a lot going on here, Maggie and Perloff. I'm already getting accused of trying to juice up the vote on the sitcom bracket. We're doing the greatest sitcom bracket ever. And I asked all of Philadelphia and Rob McElhenney to retweet it. So Always Sunny can beat All in the Family.
Oh, my God.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Collusion.
It's not working. I think I actually hurt my own causes. All in the Family seems to be running away with that. But you could go to @MaggieandPearl to vote. We're waiting. Jeff Fisher will be here soon. There is a lot going on. But go vote, please.
@MaggieandPearl on X. Dominic's in San Francisco has a thought on TV sitcoms and the criteria for the bracket and maybe how we made this thing. What's up, Dom?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. Go Niners. Definitely. Okay. Still, it's still dark here. I just finished making my coffee. Does a sitcom need a laugh track to be considered a sitcom?
Fantastic question. One that we mulled over many, many times. We ultimately decided on no, because there are TV shows in this bracket that don't have sitcoms, like 30 Rock and The Office.
They don't have laugh track.
Excuse me, laugh track.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. Yeah. The Office, yeah. 30 Rock, Parks and Recreation, those
Curb,
kind of shows.
Obviously. So,
Modern Family and, yep. Yeah. And Young Sheldon as well.
Dominic, I would argue the form of sitcom has evolved so much, and you got to be able to evolve with it. Like, it used to be like one room and two cameras or something, and now it's like Curb Your Enthusiasm or things are shot like a movie. I argued, what do you think of it? I said Atlanta is a sitcom, and everyone said, oh, that's not quite a traditional format. The thing is, sitcoms change through the years, so I think, like, you always have to think about them in their own time.
Mm-hmm.
So Modern Families like Jordan and Leave It to Beaver would be like Bob Cousy.
Exactly.
Modern Family more like LeBron, and yeah. Cheers is more like Jordan.
I'd vote for Leave It to Beaver then.
Okay. Leave It to Beaver is Cousy for sure. Yeah, like Cousy dribbling around with his right hand all the time. Like, that's basically what a sitcom used to be.
But it's the foundation, you know? It laid the foundation. You wouldn't have Michael Jordan if you didn't have Bob Cousy in some respects, right? It's like you have to pay homage to the people who came before you. Maybe Jordan would have always been okay, but...
You wouldn't have Michael Jordan if you didn't have Mr. and Mrs. Jordan. But
also fair.
Leave It to Beaver.
Dominic, thank you so much. Enjoy that first cup of Joe.
This is an old joke from the Dan Patrick Show, but if Bob Cousy did not use his left hand dribbling and he just had one hand behind his back, was dribbling around in circles, like, he would never get away with that.
You couldn't play AAU with that.
Yeah. But then again, the other thing too is, like, basketball, like, those old-timey guys would have learned how to shoot in AAU, actually, and they would have three-point shots. Michael Jordan would have had a three-point shot, so people would adjust. Sitcoms would adjust.
I think so. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines for us this morning. What's going on in the world?
There's golf. The British Open. We are deep into round one at Royal Troon. Justin Thomas in the clubhouse in the lead. A 3-under 68 for him. He is one shot clear of the field at the moment. Justin Rose among those done at 2-under. Maverick McNealy, who by that name should be everybody's favorite, is 2-under through 10 this morning. As for some of the...
Can I just, by the way, I'm sorry, when you're done with that, I have an observation. I have some golf analysis.
No, please.
That course is a freaking nightmare. Have you guys seen, Rory just hit it into like the wild jungle of England. I can't believe that. I know, like, the weeds are just, like, can you get a gardener at this course?
But one-legged Tiger's going to win. Rory, by the way, is 5-over through 11, a little better than Bryson DeChambeau, who is +6 through 12 holes. We still have not had guys tee off, some big-name guys, including Tiger, Colin Morikawa, Scottie Scheffler, Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, all start teeing off after 9 a.m. Eastern. The fifth time was the charm for Bronny James, 12 points in the first two threes of his summer league career in the Lakers' 87-86 win over the Hawks last night, easily his best performance so far this month.
Just trying to forget about all the shots I missed, forget about all the games we lost. Just come out, you know, play my game and try to do my best every time I come on the court. So that's what I did tonight, and it ended up well.
That's Bronny on ESPN. This win, by the way, the first for the Lakers this summer. Now, Bronny was destined to be a Laker with his dad, but the Suns were always connected to him pre-draft as the only other possible landing spot. Owner Matt Ishbia swears that was legit.
We thought it might be a good fit here in Phoenix. Obviously, the Lakers drafted him. I wish him the best, but we feel good. Like, people want to come here. We want Phoenix to be a destination for the Mercury, for the Suns, for the players, like, for fans. Like, we want it to be a destination. So when people want to play for us or want to be part of our organization, whether it's free agents, whether it's rookies, it feels great.
Man, I thought I talk fast. slow down a little, dude. But the other part is, I if you're a Suns fan, how do you look at Matt Ishbia and be like, no, we got the right person in place? And I know Robert Sarver was no picnic because clearly he was a bad guy, got removed as owner, was, there was no love lost Perloff between him and the fan base. But there's no way Ishbia is going to be a success here, right? He's got...
Well, I can't.
He's
even
got Isaiah Thomas in his ear.
Well,
he seems like he'll chase any shiny object. Bronny, come on! I know Bronny just had a good game, but that just makes me think even more. You have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, the early returns are not good. Like, if you're reading, like, already are Beal and Booker and Durant going to stay together? He's going to make more knee-jerk reactions to stuff. Yeah, I'm with you. This is not going to go well.
If I was every other GM or owner in the league, I'd be like, if we need to fleece anybody out of anything, please call Phoenix. Like, hey, who's the new guy? Like, let's take advantage of this dude because he is ripe.
Caitlin Clark scored or assisted on a WNBA record 66 points in last night's 101-93 loss in Dallas. She scored 24 and had a single game record 19 assists. The previous assist mark was 18, done twice by current Liberty guard Courtney Vandersloot. Diana Taurasi was part of 65 points in a game way back in 2006. Tuesday night's MLB All-Star Game on Fox drew 7.443 million viewers. That is a 6% increase from last summer, but last summer was the least watched All-Star Game ever, so this makes this year's edition the second least watched MLB All-Star Game ever. But I still think I need to triple check this. 7.44 mil is still a big number, and I think it's still better than other All-Star Game numbers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's down in general, but that's still a lot of people watching, and in comparison to the other sports, it's a good number.
How many people watch a World Series game? Probably kind of close.
Fair question.
To be honest, baseball still has the best All-Star game because guys actually try.
Right.
You know, you can't, Paul Skeens didn't mail it in and throw a meatball to Aaron Judge.
Right.
You know?
Or like wasn't doing like behind the back pitches or anything like weird. Right. Like exact, you can only play baseball.
Right. I mean, if they could just fix those uniforms, maybe they'd get up to eight.
And a quick men's college basketball note. Pitt and head coach Jeff Capel agreeing to a 3-year extension yesterday. It runs through the 29-30 season. Capel's the reigning ACC coach of the year after a surprising third-place finish. He is 97-92 total over 6 years with those Panthers. Guys, back to you.
Bogus, thank you. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and Jeff Fisher is going to be here. Does it smell like something's burning in here?
More so than usual?
Okay. I'm going to go investigate that during the break. Come on back. It's Maggie and Perlo.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay, so it's not often we get to pick the brain of somebody who has this much experience coaching, playing in the NFL, and that is the one and only Jeff Fisher, who is now the interim commissioner of the Arena Football League. Coach, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, we'll get into the arena stuff in a second because you guys have your championship game coming up on Friday at this very impressive mall in suburban New Jersey called American Dream. Mm-hmm. It's also going to be aired on CBS Sports Network. The championship between the Albany Firebirds and the Billings Outlaws is Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also go to theafl.com if you're in the area and you want to buy tickets. How you kind of got into the AFL Arena Football League is a whole story within itself. But you and Perloff were just reminiscing quickly about this famous Fog Bowl.
I'm a lifelong Eagles fan. I recently watched a documentary on NFL Network about the Fog Bowl. And honestly, I think it's one of those stories where you're a young fan, you wouldn't believe it's true. Because this playoff game between the Bears and the Eagles, you couldn't see 4 feet in front of you. That's what it looked like on TV. You were there as an assistant on the Eagles. Was it really like that in life?
You could not see from the sideline, as from a coaching perspective, you couldn't see the painted numbers on the field.
Wow.
So you couldn't see the huddle. You couldn't see the hash. You couldn't see the other sideline. You couldn't communicate to anybody upstairs, but I don't know what they showed. But the first half, it was sunny. It was balmy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a great game. It was setting up with a really good game. And we got Jim McMahon on one side and Randall Cunningham on the other. And we got Reggie White. And you got this competition and this matchup between Buddy Ryan, who had left, and, you know, the Bears and Mike Ditka. And we came out after halftime, and we're putting the headsets on and getting ready for the third quarter. And we got a game, and the crowd starts roaring. And I'm kind of looking around going, what's going on? And then Wade Phillips, you remember the name? Wade said,
yes.
Oh, damn. And we look back, and the fog was literally just pouring into Soldier Field. And it didn't take but 5 minutes to get in there to where you couldn't see anything. So now we got to play. So how are you going to go about playing that? Well, first thing that's come to mind, you got to protect your edges, right? Because we can't see what's going on the other sideline. And Wade Phillips was up in the box, and I was communicating with him. And I said, what do you see? What do you see? He goes, dang. He goes, I think they just ran for 20 yards, you know? And then the officials would work their way down. And unfortunately, I mean, it stayed that way for most of the rest of the game. And the Eagles lost that ball game.
Why didn't they just call the game, postpone the game, and wait for the fog to go away?
The officials said that they would, provided that you there was a, if you can't see, he said, if you can see the goalpost from midfield from either side, then we're going to continue to play the game. And I go, well, you can't see the goalpost. I can't. And I said, and the other thing is, you couldn't even see the illuminated play clock.
Wow.
Remember, Soldier Field's got that low wall back there, and the play clock was right behind, down on the ground. You couldn't even see the illuminated play clock. So see, thanks for bringing that up.
Well, I tell Maggie the Eagles would have won the Super Bowl that year if it wasn't for the fog.
Yeah, right. He says that all the time. But, you know, Jeff Fisher is here with us in studio, Coach Jeff Fisher, of course. I am one of these people. I know the Fog Bowl and the Ice Bowl and these legendary games are awesome. I just wish every team would play in a dome. And I don't know if that's sacrilegious or not, but I think if you had perfect conditions or close to it, we don't have this great legendary story about the Fog Bowl, but don't you think as a coach, wouldn't the competition be so much more even and fair?
Like the Arena League.
Well, I mean, but traditionally, how was this game? I mean, there's still traditionalists and people, passionate people, and our founders, you know, this game was designed to be played outside. And so there's a school of thought. Now you get the combination, the best of both worlds, where we just close roof, you know, if the weather gets bad. But you know, what's better than a fall afternoon?
Yeah.
You know, on Sunday, the leaves are turning, the wind's blowing, you can smell the smoke in the air, you smell the tailgating, and you're outside. I mean, that's fall. Football.
But I know you went to USC. Are you Californian? Like the cold games, though. If you're Aaron Rodgers, I can't imagine. Like, do you really want to play in the Green Bay's and the Minnesota's and the
Tua?
Chicago's outside or Tua? Yes, I feel like warm weather natives don't love that cold weather.
I did. I played in Chicago, that same field we're talking about. And I remember my first years, my rookie year, going in after warmups, and I saw a guy pouring Gatorade into cups behind the bench. So we're going in, we're going to the locker room for 12 minutes, right, and coming back out and kicking it off. And I just noticed that, well, who's going to drink that? Didn't make any, much sense to me. Came back out and already started to freeze.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah. It was different. Yeah, and you didn't have the gloves back then, and you didn't have the ability to layer up. You know, guys had big old, but you know what you did? You just sucked it up and you just played. Mm. You know? On top of that, we never had warm water in the showers at Soldier Field after those cold games.
Oh, no. I mean, Maggie's a Buffalo Bills fan. She's a Western New York native, so she gets it too.
Coach, you just being in here is kind of giving me this weird sort of, I don't use this term lightly, this weird kind of PTSD because you are responsible. Are it's like you? The fact that you're actually sitting here across from me is like, it's kind of weird. Like my childhood me. I mean, that really was a seminal moment. Of course, I'm talking about the Music City Miracle because Coach Jeff Fisher is here. He's now the interim. I'm not trying to change the subject, but he's now the interim commissioner of the Arena Football League. And it's a thing you kind of backed into from what I can tell, becoming the commissioner, that is the interim commissioner. The championship game is this Friday, 5:30 Eastern time. You can watch it on CBS Sports Network. Albany, the Firebirds against the Billings Outlaws. You can go to theafl.com. to get tickets and get more information. I'm going to skirt the conversation away from this for a second, away from the Music City Miracle for a second. Describe to us what's going on with the championship game. There may have been some rumors that this thing was going to get postponed or that it was going to maybe be canceled. We weren't really sure if this was going to happen. Explain to us what's going on with this championship.
It's been an ongoing effort the whole entire season. So let me get back around real quick. I was approached in Nashville. They're going to bring the Cats back, and the AFL's coming back. And it's 2.0, and you know they had all these lofty goals and expectations, and the previous administration didn't produce. And so you had 16 teams to start with, 12 of which that tried to start the season, but everybody was having difficulties. And so this game is a really cool game. I didn't know much about it. Obviously been in the outdoor world and on the 11 against 11, but the Nashville Cats were a big item in Nashville when we were making our run in Tennessee, and I was asked to come in and help, so I did. And in an effort to give back to Nashville, a huge fan base there and everything, and I'm just all about, you know, as we all do, we give back. And Nashville blessed my family beyond imagination, and I wanted to do something, and so I got involved. And then shortly thereafter, I found myself as the interim commissioner because things weren't going well. So to me, this is an exciting matchup. It's a one seed against the two seed, Albany and Billings. We've pulled it off. But there's a group of owners that are representing teams all over the country. There's eight of them here that really worked so hard together to pull the season off, despite the difficulties and the roadblocks and things like that. So they found a way. I mean, you want to define resilience, that's it. And so this is an exciting moment for me, is that for these owners and for this fan bases in these smaller markets, because it's the only game in town in some of these towns. And so you've got tradition and you've got second generation players playing in these markets. And I personally, my experience, really close friends come to the first game, never been to an indoor football game before, and they're still talking about it. It's like, oh my God, it's so cool. I mean, and I mentioned this earlier, and I keep going back to this, but Albany had a game against West Texas 7-8 weeks ago, and Albany was trailing by 11 points with 11 seconds left to go in the game and won. That's cool. I mean, it's so cool, the scoring and and everything that it touches. It's touching the officiating department and the kids. And so we got a group, the remaining ownership group, together, and we were determined. And we were scheduling ourselves, playing ourselves, you know, taking care of everybody else at the same time. Somebody needs something, we would, you know, you buy the hotel, all that stuff, but here we are. So, tomorrow afternoon, 5:30, and the good part about what we're going is we've been honored to partner with CBS Sports, and they're going to show it, and it's going to be really cool. So
awesome.
Jeff Fisher is here with us. The coach is in studio now, the interim commissioner of the Arena Football League. So that's really exciting. Tapping into your experience as a coach, right? I mean, you guys were talking about the Fog Bowl and these great memories. And there's so many huge games that you were a part of. And obviously, none's going to be bigger than the Super Bowl. And it was such a fantastic game. Obviously, that last second moment, I mean, it didn't go your way, but it gave us all as football fans this incredible game that lived forever. I'm curious if you can give us a window into what Kyle Shanahan might be feeling now, because he has come down to the wire in two Super Bowls where he was the head coach, one Super Bowl where he was the offensive coordinator, obviously, in Atlanta. And these have been just near misses. And you experience this. How, as a coach, do you ever get past this? Like, can you imagine what Shanahan is going through multiple times?
No, I can imagine. I appreciate and I pull for him. His father and I were on staff together with the 49ers. We're good friends, and so I watched Kyle grow up. I watched him develop, and I've stayed out, but watched it. What does he do? He keeps going. He's surrounded himself with great people. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, my career has afforded me, in the place I'm at, to be able to go out and help people, different leagues, and do these things. Eddie George, for example, the Alliance and the USFL and different things. And you reach out and help small college programs and deal with the, you know, the NIL stuff and everything. But the point is that, you know, offensive minds, regardless of the level, are all copying Kyle Shanahan.
Really?
You know, and he's the guy. He's the, you know, these offensive changes over the years, and the gurus, and the whoever's doing the, you know, who's running it, but he's going to get it done, and it's just a matter of time. They're built so well, and John and that ownership and that staff. I mean, it's going to happen. You know, you just you just things happen in ball games. You know, and they just happen, and it's one ball game. I mean, 2 years ago, had they not had the quarterback injuries, they probably would have won it all this year. They stayed healthy for the most part at that position, but, you know, you couldn't find a way to win the game that was most important.
Maggie and I had an interesting discussion earlier this week. Is, can a Brock Purdy beat a Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl? Like, at the end of the day, is he going to be a good enough quarterback to beat one of these AFC superstar quarterbacks? You might go up against a Josh Allen, a Patrick Mahomes. Can a guy like Brock Purdy knock them off? If you go to a quarterback battle in the Super Bowl, is he good enough?
Yes, he can do it. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's a team thing. But he can do it. He's equipped to do it. He's got all the talent. Now, I know he's going to run around like Pat did early in his career for Andy. But he's going to make plays. He understands. I mean, the connection, this is the cool thing to watch, is the connection between Andy and Pat and their brains, and then, you know, Purdy and Kyle.
So it's not just a matter of arm talent and things like that. It's up here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was some stuff. I mean, I've been out for a few years now, obviously, but one of the most impressive things since bringing up quarterback play that I've ever seen by a quarterback was when Baker had got to the Rams on Tuesday or Wednesday and had a couple of days of practice and executed a 98-yard, two-minute drive to win a big game. And he had just showed up. That's an impressive feat. If you think about it, if you really think about it, He was in other programs, and now, yeah, he and Sean's communication and communication and terminology is the same, and is recalled there, and 98-yard drive against an NFL caliber, really good defense in a 2-minute drive. That shows you what's required mentally to play that position. Brock has that.
Jeff Fisher is here with us in studio. Of course, the longtime NFL head coach is now the interim commissioner for the Arena Football League. Their championship is coming up this Friday, 5:30. You can watch it on CBS Sports Network. Obviously, defensive player your whole life. And stopping Patrick Mahomes, I mean, what would you do?
Well, I mean, obviously, you have to address, you got to pay attention to the weapons that they have. I mean, you know. I mean, that's Patrick Mahomes is going to do something with the football. You're going to be able to handle their run game. You got a nightmare matchup for anybody on defense with respect to Travis and, you know, the tight end position, and then those guys that can run around down the field and make the plays. So, I mean, Andy, I thought this was one of Andy's better years this year, particularly what he decided to do late in the season. He goes, you know what? We're going to change and we're going to run the football. And he did it towards the end of the season. I mean, you watched them from when they started to where they ended the regular season, then pushed through the playoffs. It was all that. He realized that without the run game on offense, that they have no chance. And he changed. He committed to it. I mean, and that's a, you know, that's I mean, that's a hard thing to do. You know, not that anybody's going to oppose what Andy's going to do, but that's a hard thing for anybody to do, is completely change your philosophy. He did that. But, yeah, there's some good players out there right now, and yeah. Patrick is certainly really fun to watch.
So, Coach, you were on the competition committee in the yes. NFL. What do you think of the new kickoff rule? Do you like it, and you think it will have a huge impact?
I think we have to wait and see. Did they vote it in for a year, or they voted in permanently? Because when they vote them in for a year, then they're going to evaluate them and then vote them in permanently. But we saw the same basic philosophy in the USFL. Mm-hmm. You're basically you're changing the kickoff, and you're turning it. You're actually creating another punt, is what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So guys are, you know, on the punt return, you got guys stepping in, engaging, turning, running, walling off. You don't have all those big collisions down the field. So be interesting to see how the kickers adjust and try to put place balls down the field. But, you know, they wanna eliminate the long distance, high impact collisions, which is smart. It's all in the interest of player safety. Have to see how it worked. It was I experienced it for a year in the USFL, and I thought it was good.
Coach Jeff Fisher, we just have a couple more minutes with you. We've been talking a lot of NFL because obviously you were a head coach in the NFL from 1994 to 2016. You have so much experience, but you are also, you know, legendary USC player. What do you think about USC joining the Big Ten?
It's hard to imagine, you know. I mean, when I was there one year, it was 97 or 77. Half the Pac-8 went on probation, and it was, I think there was like a Pac-4 or Pac-6 left because nobody could play a bowl game. But to watch them, it'll be really interesting. You know, I'm disappointed.
Do you like the move?
I like the Pac-10 and the Pac-8, 10, 12, whatever you want to call it, tradition on the West Coast. It was good football, and then just to see what's happened to it. But Lincoln's, you know, he's got to replace a good quarterback, and we'll see how they do. But it'll be interesting to see. Tradition, history, it all goes up in the air when you're talking about NIL.
Real quick, we're running out of time. You're a great coach. You're walking around with Peter Schwartz today, who's working with the Arena Football League. He weighs 320, I think, 6'4". Could you turn him into an NFL offensive lineman? He's standing right there. I mean, do you think you have the skill to transform Peter Schwartz into an NFL player?
You're going to have to take him down the hall, see if he can bend over and look between his legs. Okay.
That's a no.
And if he can, then he needs to do some short snapping. But the rest of the game itself, no. I mean, he's got quick hands. I mean, you put him at center, he's got one hand on the ball, you know. It's hard to protect yourself.
So. Coach Jeff Fisher, let me just reiterate that the Arena League Football Championship is Friday, 5:30 Eastern, CBS Sports Network. It's the Albany Firebirds against the Billings Outlaws, Billings, Montana, obviously. You can go to theafl.com if you want tickets and more information. We could have talked to you all day, Coach. Thank you so much
for being available. And thanks for having me.
Good luck, Mark.
The interim commissioner of the Arena Football League. Again, thank you. Okay, Maggie and Perloff, we move on after this to talk about Alabama. First season under head coach Kalen DeBoer. What's the right expectation for the Tide? I'll tell you next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.